This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church, located at 1225 4th Street here in Fond du Lac. Thank you for joining us this morning in prayer and devotion.
Please stand if you are able in joining me in the call to worship. Welcome, friends, family, and neighbors. Today, we worship, pray, sing, and share the sacrament of Holy Communion. It is a gift to be called and gathered, to be able to worship God in community. We gather and remember the words Jesus spoke. These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. His words opened their minds to understand the scriptures. It changed their lives forever. May the Spirit open our minds today as we hear the gospel of Jesus in many forms. May our lives be changed as we worship God together. Our first scripture lesson this morning is taken from Psalm, and we'll be reading Psalm 97, and let us read responsibly. The Lord rules. Let the earth rejoice. Let all the islands celebrate. Clouds and thick darkness surround God. His throne is built on righteousness and justice. Fire proceeds before him, burning up his enemies on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees it and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of the whole world. Heaven has proclaimed God's righteousness, and all nations have seen his glory. All those who worship images, those who are proud of idols, are put to shame. All gods bow down to the Lord. Zion has heard and celebrates. The towns of Judah rejoice. Because of your acts of justice, Lord, because you, Lord, are the Most High over all the earth, because you are so superior to all other gods. Those of you who love the Lord hate evil. God guards the lives of his faithful ones, delivering them from the power of the wicked. Light is planted like seed for the righteous person. Joy, too, for those whose heart is right. Rejoice in the Lord, righteous ones. Give thanks to his holy name. Second scripture reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 16 through 36, and I'll be reading from the Common English Bible. One day when we were on the way to the place for prayer, we met a slave woman. She had a spirit that enabled her to predict the future. She made a lot of money for her owners through fortune-telling. She began following Paul and us, shouting, "These people are servants of the Most High God. They are proclaiming the way of salvation to you." She did this for many days. This annoyed Paul so much that he finally turned and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave her." It left her at that very moment. Her owners realized that their hope for making money was now gone. They grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the officials in the city center. When her owners approached the legal authorities, they said, "These people are causing an uproar in our city. They are Jews who promote customs that we Romans can't accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attacks against Paul and Silas, so the authorities ordered that they may be stripped of their clothes and beaten with a rod. When Paul and Silas had been severely beaten, the authorities threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to secure them with great care. When he received these instructions, he threw himself into the innermost cell and secured their feet in stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. All at once, there was such a violent earthquake that it shook the prison's foundations. The doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. When the jailer awoke and saw the doors open of the prison, He thought the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul shouted loudly, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for some lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He led them outside and asked, "Honorable masters, what must I do to be rescued?" And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your entire household." They spoke the Lord's words to him and everyone else in his house. Right then, in the middle of the night, the jailer welcomed them and washed their wounds. He and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his home and gave them a meal. He was overjoyed because he and everyone in his household had come to believe in God. The next morning, the legal authorities sent the police to the jailer with the order, "Release those people." So the jailer reported this to Paul, informing him, "The authorities sent word that you both are to be released. You can leave now. Go in peace."
Let us pray. God of grace, we thank you that you have freed us, that you continue to free us. Send your Spirit on our spirits. Allow us to gather together as one. Allow us to hear your word proclaimed afresh, to allow you to transform us from the inside out, to break all of those chains that we continue to hold deep within us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's text, prescribed by the Revised Common Lectionary, continues the storyline that we heard from last week. Paul and his companions traveled all around Asia, modern-day Turkey, and they ended up in this Roman colony of Philippi in Macedonia. It's not where they wanted to go, but it's where they felt God calling them. And there, they looked around and they went outside the city to a place that they thought there would be a place of prayer. And there, Lydia and her entire household ended up being baptized and provided Paul and his companions a place to stay, provided them with hospitality. In today's text, we're again headed to a place of prayer. We don't know how many days have transpired between when they first met Lydia and women there and today, but we know, according to verse 18, she had done this for many days. She, who did what? A slave woman had a spirit that enabled her to predict the future. A slave woman who made a lot of money for her owners. A slave woman who followed Paul and his companions around day after day after day, shouting, "These people are servants of the Most High God. They are proclaiming a way of salvation to you." In one sense, this seems like they should be thankful that it's beneficial. It's some free advertising, a free promotion. And yet in Acts 16:18, we read that this annoyed Paul so much that he finally turned and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave her." And it left her at that very moment. So this annoyed Paul. To be annoyed is to be irritated, a little bit angry. This verb, translated as annoyed, it's translated from a Greek word, diaponimo. I haven't done my Greek here enough. I need Pedro along here for doing this one. Diaponimai. Yeah, okay, I'm slaughtering that one. Anyway, this Greek word, it's this long, hard to pronounce verb. But its root word is ponos. It means to labor, to toil. And the prefix, the beginning there, dia, means thoroughly. It intensifies the meaning of the word. So Paul is irritated, but it's an irritation that it's been going on and on and on. There's a sense of anguish, that he's distressed, that he's suffering because of this slave woman following them around day after day after day. And finally, that little irritation that's just been there, that he's kind of been trying to ignore and just go on with it, he finally snaps in a sense. And he more or less maybe abuses the power of God by commanding this fortune-telling spirit to leave her. Again, this action, it may seem like a good thing. This woman is no longer enslaved to this spirit. That's freedom. And yet, she remains a slave to her human owners. And now, without this fortune-telling spirit, she's worthless to them. They can no longer use her for their own financial benefits, which makes them more than just irritated. She may have been granted salvation from the control of that spirit, but she remained enslaved to these humans. As quickly as she appears, we don't hear any more about her. We aren't told what consequences she endured from her owners. But knowing what we know of our modern-day slave situations similar to this, we can guess she probably suffered greatly because she was no longer able to satisfy the demands of her owners and provide them with money. We're only told what the owners did to Paul and Silas. The owners offered up this twisted, half-truth, mostly false accusation against Paul and Silas. But notice that these Roman men, they didn't mention anything about losing their source of income as they're complaining to the officials about it. The real reason that they were upset, they didn't want to talk about that. They just transferred all the blame over to Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas are thrown in prison. That's kind of the PG version of the story that we often hear. I think we gloss over verse 22, which says the entire crowd joined in the attacks against Paul and Silas, and the authorities ordered that they be stripped of their clothes. So not only were they accused falsely, now they're standing there in front of the entire city naked, and they're beaten with a rod. And then they're thrown in prison. Not only were they in prison, but they were put in the innermost cell and chained down with shackles, secured with great care. You'd think that sitting there on those cold, dark stones, bound by cold shackles, they would have been discouraged, frustrated, mad. But no. Verses 25 and 26. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Kind of wonder if the other prisoners are going, "You guys are crazy. How can you be doing this?" Or maybe they were trying to learn some of these hymns and prayers that was fresh. It was appealing to them. I don't know. All at once, there was such a violent earthquake that it shook the prison's foundations. The doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. Praise God. They're all free. See, God works all things for good and just got to hang in there, right? Not just Paul and Silas, but all the prisoners are free. Once again, that sounds great. But think about all the other repercussions that are going to happen. The jailer probably would have been punished very severely because under his watch, all these prisoners were now free and they were gone. Especially Paul and Silas. We don't know who all the other prisoners were. Not good people, probably, by the world's perspective. They've probably done some pretty terrible things. knowing the severity of the punishment that he was about to endure, he chose to end his own life instead and was about to spear himself. Paul says, stop, stop, wait. No, we're all here, all present and accounted for. You don't need to do that. You're not going to be in trouble. We didn't run off. More good news. The jailer comes in, talks to them, falls before them, trembling. What must I do to be rescued? What must I do to be saved? Here's the jailer, who is in charge of the prison, asking Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? They reply, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Not only you, but your entire household. Believe and you will be saved. They spoke the Lord's word to him and everyone else in his house. Right then in the middle of the night, the jailer welcomed them, washed their wounds, cared for them, offered hospitality. He and his entire household were immediately baptized. He gave them a meal. They broke bread together. He was overjoyed because he and his entire household were saved. Lydia and her entire household believed, were baptized, showed hospitality. The jailer and his entire household believed, were baptized, showed hospitality. There's a pattern. And if you read the verses that follow today's text, which I do encourage you, go home, continue reading God's word, you find that Paul and Silas don't just leave in peace, as our passage ended today. Oh, no. Paul and Silas, they kind of do what Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. They had to share their side of the story. They were, in fact, not just Jews. They were Roman citizens. They were not promoting customs against the Pax Romana, the peaceful way of Rome. They were not trying to cause a big uproar against the empire. They too were Roman citizens. They demanded a public apology. They were not just going to walk out of here silently, be swept off to the side. No, we demand clearing our names publicly. We did nothing wrong. They were escorted out of prison publicly to show that they were free, that they had done nothing wrong. They went to Lydia's house. They were offered encouragement, and they offered encouragement to the other believers. And then they traveled on. Acts 16 is an amazing, powerful story that focus on imprisonment and breaking free in so many ways, some significant, literally, from a prison, other ways of just those seemingly small ways that we are held in bondage in our life. Paul wrote to these saints at Philippi 7 to 10 years after this, the letter to the saints at Philippians, the book of Philippians in our New Testament. He wrote that when he was imprisoned, either in Rome or Ephesus, we're not sure where, to encourage them. And in the first chapter, Paul's prayer says that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what really matters, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. He's encouraging them from prison to find joy in the midst of whatever challenges they face. I don't know about you, but I wonder if Paul ever somehow admitted, confessed that maybe his actions in Acts 16 of casting out that spirit from that slave woman, maybe that wasn't the best witness of the love of Jesus. Patience. We don't know, but I wonder Maybe he thought that that exorcism of the spirit, it was done out of his own personal frustration. It was just that reaction, but not a thoughtful response. It was a result of him not being into control, not being in control or being able to manage the manner in which the joy of salvation of Jesus Christ is proclaimed. Did Paul in that moment become like so many of us and thought, no, this isn't the way it's supposed to go. Stop. And realize after the fact, you know what? It's not about me. It's about that empty cross. A little later in the first chapter of Philippians, Paul says, some proclaim Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. However, Christ is proclaimed. Praise God that Christ's name is being proclaimed in every way. Following this introductory chapter, we have what we call the Christ hymn in chapter 2 of Philippians. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or empty conceit, but in humility regard others. Regard others to be better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, look to the interests of others around you. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who emptied himself of all power, was obedient to death on a cross. Not my will, but thine be done. So that God might be given glory. And the Christ hymn ends with Paul's command, therefore, work on your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you. What is salvation? Growing up in the church, salvation, for me, it had a very specific meaning. It's eternal life in heaven after this life. Anyone who confesses belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, check. Got my ticket into heaven. Guaranteed. Whew. Okay, I'm saved. Don't have to worry about that scary, fiery pit of sulfur that's always burning and gnashing teeth. That isn't necessarily wrong, but it also isn't the full picture. If that's what you believe salvation is in its entirety, full stop, I pray that you're going to discover the fullness of salvation. As I've read through Scripture, the more that I've read God's Word, the more I've learned, salvation isn't just for the afterlife. It's not that little fire insurance for our soul type of thing. It's so much more. It's about being in the presence of God Almighty, yes, forever and ever, but now as well. Heaven, here on earth. We're promised to be able to experience salvation in this life, in the everyday, ordinary moments of life. We are being saved. We're being given freedom. We're being rescued. We're being released from bondage and oppression. Salvation. Stating our belief in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior is so much more. True salvation allows us to find true joy in anything, especially in those moments of uncertainty. The heart of the letter to the saints at Philippi is about seeking to embrace the gift of encouragement and joy in the midst of human suffering. It emphasizes humility, hospitality, unity as we serve one another. Relying on Christ's strength, not our own. It's all done to the glory of God. As we share this holy meal today, may we remember Jesus Christ. May we be remembered as part of the body of Christ, the church universal, gathered together around the world, some in places of freedom like we have, and some in secrecy, in silence, all alone, physically alone, but yet not alone. all gathered together, rejoicing in the fullness of salvation, which is offered to us as a free gift, not something that we earn. It's not about what we do to earn it. It's what we do in response to this gift of grace by the triune God. May we remain alert to the deceitful temptations of worldly power. May we be persistent amidst all those annoyances of the world, persistent to offer the love of Christ, to see one another through God's eyes. May we both offer and receive hospitality for other believers. May we make every effort to live a life together in community that is truly worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May our lives be a witness to those whom God places in our path, of Christ at work within us, so that you and I may become less of the focus, reflecting and redirecting our attention to the empty cross, the source of our salvation. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. For more information about us, our phone number is 920-922-0425. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m. Staff nursery is available for 3 years and under.